Good morning and a very warm welcome to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. Today I wish to go and put a challenge to you. And that is, how big is your God? You see, in times past there were many hymns that spoke about following Jesus Christ. Many of them had a military feel to them. They were hymns of spiritual warfare, battle, and following Jesus into every sort of situation, taking the world for him. Christianity has found itself in recent years somewhat on the back foot, especially in Western society, defending what it holds to, defending the truths it believes in. And so I want to ask you this morning, what are the truths you believe in? And as I said, how big is your God? During the week I was conversing with a man named Peter, and I challenged him about trusting the Lord in a certain area of his life. And as soon as I even mentioned it, without any thought or hesitation, he just went, "That's impossible." I said, "Really?" Well, I said, "If that's impossible, then your God is too small." He went to go and argue that that wasn't the case. I said, no, hold on now one moment. The God of the Bible claims to be a God of the impossible. But you've just said that that situation we're speaking about is impossible. So therefore, your God is too small, because if God is truly the God of the impossible, then your impossible has suddenly been made possible. I hope you can follow that logic. If God is the God of the impossible, then your impossible has just been made possible. Provided, of course, it doesn't imply something like lying, which the scripture goes and tells us that is one of the things that is impossible for God to do, which is to lie. And God cannot sin either. So now that we have established those points, everything else that is deemed impossible can be made possible, because God is the God of the impossible. As a result, people, because they had that concept of God, knew God to be the God of the impossible, had no problem going and following him into every situation that they found themselves, declaring that God was indeed victorious in all of their situations that they found themselves in. So, how big is your God? And are you willing to follow him wherever he may take you? Let us begin with this hymn. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high the royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Now, as I have already said, this is a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. And Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, goes and emphasizes the battle that you and I find ourselves in. This is what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. Now, when it's speaking about the saints, it's speaking about the Christians that were living right there at that time, not those who had departed and have been given the title saint. You see, the word saint literally means to be holy, to be set apart as God's people. And that is who you are if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have been set apart. You are a holy people, a royal priesthood, it says, a saint. So when you look in the mirror, is that something that you can actually say to yourself? I am a saint. But when we get back to this spiritual warfare, the question is, do you believe that you're actually involved in spiritual warfare? Do you believe that there is even a spiritual battle? Do you believe that evil even exists? Or do we just go and put all this down to human nature? They are the challenges that you need to go and ask yourself. What is it do you really believe? As for me, I most definitely believe that there is a spiritual battle. I most definitely believe in Satan. I believe in the devil, as it says here. And of course, I believe in an almighty God who has defeated him. But I believe in a spiritual battle that is real. Our next hymn is one written by Charles Wesley, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Let me read some of it to you. Soldiers of Christ arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts, is more than conqueror. Are they the words that you can say when you look at your life? Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where today we are looking at the topic of spiritual warfare and listening to wonderful hymns about that reality, us moving as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are many armies in the world that are using military force and violence to go and wreak havoc upon our world and the citizens that live within it. But we, the followers of Jesus Christ, are another mighty army. And no, we are not those who go around killing people. It's not about a war against human beings. It's a spiritual warfare, as I've been discussing and reading from Ephesians 6. And we shall get into the need and why it is that we wear spiritual warfare clothing. The helmets, breastplate, belt of truth, shoes of the gospel of peace, and how that impacts our daily lives. And yes, it does impact our daily life. But one of the things that we need to remember is, are we really in a battle? And this, I would suggest, is something for the most part that many of us as Christians don't engage with. We don't actually consider this reality. Well, think no further than the words of Jesus Christ when he said that he was going to build the church. Jesus, turning around to his disciples, said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now just think about that line. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now gates don't move. And what you have is you have the concept or the picture of hell as a fortress with its gates locked and barred. And who are the ones who takes down those gates? These gates are there trying to withstand the pressure and the power that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, bring against it. Think about that. These gates cannot stand against us. Why is that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and I to go and be a people who are setting others free from darkness, setting others free from captivity, setting others free from torment, setting others free from the bondage that they find themselves in. This is not a mission for just those who find themselves in clerical gowns or wearing titles such as pastor or minister. No, this is, in fact, a duty, a job that God has called everybody to. You are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the great news is this, that we are indeed on the victory side. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. But the war has been already won. Christ went and had that victory at Calvary. Christ had that victory over the grave. Christ is now seated in the heavenly realms, far above all principalities and powers and rulers of this world. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the one who is reigning and ruling on high. He is the one who is majestic, all-powerful, ever-reigning, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when I commenced this show, I went and informed Peter that his God was too small. Is your God sitting on the throne of this universe? That is a question that you need to go and ask yourself. You see, either God is in control of this world, or the world is in control of God. Think about that. Either God is in control of this world, or the world is in control of God. Nowadays, many like to go and shape and sculpt God into the way that they would like him to be, and how he fits in with their ideas and thoughts. Maybe you're that sort of a person. Do you know the God who is contained in the pages of Scripture? That God, as I've said, seated on the throne, ruling and reigning. When we have that concept of who God is, then we can rejoice with Paul as he writes in the book of Romans that yes, we are indeed more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Today, do you feel like someone who is a conqueror? Someone who has overcome, but not only a conqueror, not just someone who's overcome, but more than. So that means that you're even greater than a conqueror. Is that how you feel today? And as you listen to these hymns, do they not cause you to rise up, to want to celebrate, to give God the praise for who he is? And does it not also breathe life into your marching along the road, knowing that you are someone who knows the goodness, the grace, the mercy, the love, the riches of God in your life? I hope and pray you do. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we are speaking about spiritual warfare and the reality of spiritual warfare. We have read that famous passage of Scripture from Ephesians 6. We've been listening to wonderful hymns all about marching into war and into the battle. We've recognized that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against other human beings. It is a spiritual battle. And we've acknowledged the presence of evil, that when we consider the military might that has been used by others to the destruction of other people's lives. You see, the Lord Jesus goes and says in John chapter 10 and verse 10 that the thief comes to kill, steal and destroy. And when we turn on the news, that's exactly the picture that we see. We see evil abounding throughout our world. We've spoken of what the purpose of the church is. The purpose of the church is to actually go and release people from hell, to plunder the gates of hell and set people free. Free from the bondage, free from the captivity they find themselves in, free into the life that God intends for them, because Christ came into this world to give us life, and that more abundantly. Galatians 5 verse 1 goes and says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So are you someone who is enjoying the freedom that only Jesus Christ can bring? Or is this a completely alien concept to you? That gift was paid for on the cross. It's no expense to you, no expense to me. God has done it all through the person of Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you to exhort your soul, to encourage your soul, as I read the words of this hymn to you. March on, my soul, with strength. March forward, void of fear. He who has led will lead through each successive year. And as you travel on your way, his hand shall hold you day by day. March on, my soul, with strength. In ease you dare not dwell. High duty calls you forth, then up and serve him well. Take up your cross, take up your sword, and fight the battles of your Lord. March on, my soul, with strength but not your own. The conquest you will gain through Christ your Lord alone. His grace shall nerve your feeble arm, his love preserve you safe from harm. March on, my soul, with strength, from strength to strength march on. Warfare shall end at length, all foes be overthrown. And then my soul, if faithful now, the crown of life awaits your brow. Folks, yes, we're involved in a spiritual battle. Yes, we are on the victory side because Christ has won the victory. And the question I asked at the beginning is, how big is your God? When you identify and see the spiritual battles that are in front of you, are you able to overcome them? Because if not, I would suggest that maybe the God you believe in is not as big as the God that you read of in the pages of Scripture. Think about that. So when we get into Ephesians 6, we see that gospel armor. But the reason for that gospel armor is not because we are in retreat, not because we are in defeat, not because we have to fear Satan. We don't have to do that anymore because Christ has defeated him at the cross. Yes, he comes to tempt us, but the reality is that because Satan is a defeated foe, he actually fears you. He fears that if you are someone who is committed to the cause of Christ, that you could be someone that God can use to transform your family, your community, your town, your country to God's glory. And he doesn't want that. He wants people to be living in misery. He wants people to feel overcome. He wants people to be depressed. He wants people to be even suicidal. He wants you to have no hope. He wants you to have no peace. He wants you to be stripped of the beauty of perfect love that only God can give. You see, God is the God of hope. God is the God of peace. God is the God of joy. God is the God of love. And perfect love drives out fear. And Satan does not want you to know that. You see, in Romans chapter 16 and verses 19 and 20, it goes and says, be excellent at what is good. Stay innocent of evil. That's God's command to you. And then the second part of the verse goes, verse 20 goes and says, the second part of that clause goes and says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That brings us to a point where we actually start to explore the armor of God. Yes, the armor of God is defensive for the most part, and protective is maybe a better word. It protects us from harm, but not with the intent of us being in a defensive place, but rather that we are in an offensive place. Because the Lord Jesus in the Gospels goes and says that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing even to this day. Now, do you believe that? Or do you believe that Christianity is dead in the water? Maybe the formal churches that we go to, and of which I am the minister in one, have lost their way a little bit, have been so busy in just being pastoral rather than missional that we've missed the goal. And we've lost the people. But the question I would ask you is this. Do you genuinely believe that God's kingdom is forcefully advancing? Because if you do, the rest of that verse goes and says, and forceful people lay hold of it. So are you someone who is grabbing the reality of God's kingdom and that it is moving forward from strength to strength? After the break, we are going to delve in greater detail to what it means to wear the spiritual armor of God. Welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. So, the gospel armor, why do we need it? Well, we're exhorted in verse 10 to finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So recognize first up where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from the Lord and his mighty power. That mighty power, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly realms. And in the knowledge of that, we're to go and put on the full armor of God. For what purpose? so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. It's not necessarily the schemes that are assigned to you, but it's the schemes of this world, that we are coming against the devil's schemes, his manipulative ways of controlling people's lives, and praying that God's will be done in the lives of other people. But to do that, like any army, we must wear our uniform, our battle dress. And so the first thing that we are giving clear instructions on is who our enemy is. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So the person who's in front of you is actually not your problem, believe it or not. I know that that can be quite a difficult thing to actually take a grasp of, especially if that person is violent and abusive to you. Yet the scripture goes and says they're not the problem. What makes that person violent and abusive? What has taken place in their lives to have them in that position? In what way is the devil manipulating them and moving them to create this situation? These are all questions that we need to consider, because the scripture says that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. And then we're told very clearly who our enemy is. But it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Now notice, it's very important to recognize what world we're talking about. This dark world. So we're talking in the realms of the demonic, and against the spiritual forces of evil. In Ephesians 2, Paul goes and tells in verse 1 that Satan is the prince of this world. It doesn't take much scratching below the surface to actually recognize of any of our human hearts that, well, he does impact and influence us with things like selfishness, with things like greed. Where does that come from? God? No. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, and here's what the armor we have, with the belt of truth around your waist. You see, when Christ came up against Satan, what did he use? He used scripture. He spoke truth into that conflict that he took place in the wilderness. Put the breastplate of righteousness in place. What does the breastplate do? It covers your heart. It covers your vital organs. But notice, it's one of righteousness. You see, Satan can come along and go and say, ha, the scripture goes and says that your righteousness is but like filthy rags. True. But we have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And so when Satan looks at you, all he can see is the righteousness of Christ. When you have that belt of truth around your waist, who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. But it doesn't stop there, does it? No. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And as I've said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. So as you move forward in battle, fitted with shoes that have come with the gospel of peace, then everywhere you lay your foot, as it even goes and says back in Joshua's time, will become hallowed ground, because God himself is the one who does the crushing underneath your feet. But it doesn't stop there. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. And so that shield covers the whole of you. Why? So that it will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Extinguish. Not that it'll just block them, it'll actually put them out. And so you can end up that those things that are sent towards you, accusing you, because Satan is an accuser of the brethren, the scripture goes and says, will not land on you, because the shield has taken them. Take the helmet of salvation. What do we do with a helmet? We place it on our head. It protects us and keeps us safe. Protects our mind. How are you protecting your mind these days? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now we have our weapon of warfare. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. How did Jesus overcome Satan, as we've said already, in the wilderness? He spoke truth, one. But the other thing, too, is he spoke scripture. And every time that he went and countered Satan's temptation, he spoke into it with the Word of God. That begs of us a question. How well do you and I know our Bible? And what's more is, do we actually believe what we read when it comes to situations like this? Then, not only that, are we armed with the sword, but we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always and keep on praying for all of the saints. And as I've said, that's where we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Those that we know are Christians, those that we know profess faith in Jesus, we keep them in prayer so that together we stand, together we are united, together we are moving forward and taking this world for Jesus. Is that a mission that excites you and encourages you? When you know of a neighbor or friend who's suffering, who's going through dark patch, going through illness, going through loneliness, going through bereavement, do you believe that your God is big enough to reach in to their hour of need and be able to bless them, encourage them, enrich them, and enable them to move forward? That is the good news that we bring into our world, into our sphere of influence. Are you bringing that good news into your sphere of influence? Let's just leave it there. What way are you fighting your battle? Folks, all that's left for me to say is thank you for listening to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, show you grace, and turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.